Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. Okay, welcome back everyone. Today I am going to talk about intranasal spray peptides. I think one of the biggest hurdles that I encounter with people is the fear of injecting. And that's a real thing. For me, it's like an everyday thing. So I remember though, years ago when I first got started with peptides, it was a little daunting to think about actually injecting myself. And now I do, usually depending on what I'm stacking, I usually have about 2 injections a day, sometimes more. And you get over it really fast. So let me say that. If you're one of these people that's new to the space and you're terrified of injecting, you use these little teeny tiny insulin syringes. They're so thin and they really don't hurt. And you ultimately do get the hang of it. But there are some peptides that actually work really well intranasally via a nasal sprayer. And it can be a really good starting place for those of you that are scared of the injections. However, there are limitations. And I think in a world where peptides are exploding, you see all these things out there about try this peptide gummy and it will do this. I've seen like GLP gummies and things like that. Try this supplement and it'll do this. And I'm not saying that some of those things work. I'm saying a lot of them are overhyped. There are true scientific mechanisms of action that have to be administered a certain way in order for them to be effective. So even in the nasal spray family, not all peptides are created equal, and they don't work either at all or as efficiently as an injectable format. So I'm going to break down a lot of that information so you have a better understanding of what that looks like. And I've been teasing this for a long time. I am recording this actually on Wednesday, April 22nd. I'm so behind. These days I'm recording and releasing episodes the same day. I would love to get to a place where I can get ahead, but that just seems not to be the case these days. So anyway, so yesterday evening, we actually launched at the Peptique our intranasal spray line. We launched 5 different peptides, and they are currently on sale right now. They're 15% off, and we are launching them in limited release so we can see how they do. So far, they've done great. So I think this is definitely a product line that we are going to keep going. And I also think on a side note to this, and I didn't even have this in my show notes to talk about, but I think in this space where the peptide world's becoming so volatile in the research peptide space, there are a lot of things that companies like the Peptique can get scrutinized for, can get shut down for, can get their hands slapped for, can get fined for, all the things. I think that the intranasal space is a really safe one. The FDA and Big Pharma doesn't care about these things, right? So this is a safer peptide space. And one of our goals is to continue to expand our line of products to ensure that should the powers that be really come down hard on us, we are going to have a multitude of different products, different applications for you guys to choose from. And so the world of peptides won't just be taken away. So that was one of the incentives of starting this. And let's be honest. If you're in the peptide space and you're doing a multitude of different peptides that affect different pathways, you can get injection fatigue. I know that I do. So when I'm talking personally about intranasal applications, it's just the ease of it and not having to load a syringe and all that stuff. And you just take a couple puffs and away you go with your day, and there's no injection. So even if you are used to the injectable format, there is a place for this intranasal application if the peptide will work that way mechanistically. So all that being said, I lost my notes here. I don't want to skip anything. Let's just dive right in. So let's talk about how the nasal delivery actually works. Okay, it's a nose-to-brain transport inside the nasal cavity. So you have two key pathways here. You have the olfactory nerve, and you have the, I'm not going to say this right, the trigeminal nerve, okay? These allow certain compounds to travel directly from the nose into the central nervous system. So it bypasses things like digestion, first pass liver metabolism, and helps get through that blood-brain barrier, which is super important. This matters because you get faster onset, more direct neurological effects, and less degradation. But like I mentioned, here's the key. Not all peptides can use this pathway effectively. Okay, so what makes a peptide work in the intranasal format? Size, smaller peptides absorb more easily. Lipophilicity, I'm not sure if I said that right, meaning that it's more fat soluble, better membrane crossing. Stability, can it survive in a solution and in the nasal environment? And target, this is the most important. Where is the peptide supposed to work? If it's targeting the brain, nasal can make sense, right? If it's targeting the body, you usually need a systemic or injectable delivery. So let's kind of segue into peptides that actually work within the research world and what the research actually says about this. Things like Semax. So Semax is one of the best examples of a peptide that was essentially built for intranasal delivery. It's a modified fragment of the ACTH, but without hormonal activity, and it primarily acts on the brain. So mechanistically, Semax has been shown to increase BDNF, support neuroplasticity, modulate dopamine and serotonin signaling. So what does the research show here? Semax has been studied in both human and animal models, especially in stroke recovery, cognitive impairment, and brain injury. In stroke models, intranasal Semax showed improved neurological recovery, reduced brain damage in animal models, faster cognitive restoration. In humans, it's been associated with improved focus, better memory, increased mental clarity under stress. This is where most of us use this particular peptide. And the research dosing for it, for the Semax, is about 200 to 600 mcgs. You can go higher than that. Normally, you want to take this more in the morning and then maybe again in the afternoon. The thing with the intranasal application is sometimes you have to take it more frequently. And so I definitely found this to be the case with Semax. So you also need to figure out what works for you, because this is so bio-individual. And so you may need to take a little bit less. You may need to take a little bit more. Your frequency may be higher. So usually two times a day. And again, normally most people take it in the morning and then maybe a little bit later in the afternoon. Okay. Selenc. Everyone knows, if you've listened to me at all, that I'm a big fan of Selenc, just for me personally, because I deal with getting out of that fight or flight mode. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what Selenc is. Very briefly, intranasal Selenc has been studied in anxiety models, stress adaptation, cognitive performance under stress. So findings showed reduced anxiety without sedation, improved cognitive performance under stress, and normalization of neurotransmitter activities. And for me, this is one that helps me calm down at night, because my mind's constantly going a million miles a minute. It's not so much that I struggle with acute anxiety or anything like that, but I do have a hard time calming the central nervous system. And the research dose for this is about 200 to 400 mcgs. And that's a couple of sprays. I like to take this at night. During the day would actually make me tired. And so I prefer to take this at night. One thing about Selenc and Semax is you often see them combined. That is not my preference. Obviously, you can use these however you would like, but that's not how I like to use them because I find that the Celanc kind of chills me out too much. And sometimes with the Simax, I get a little bit of a headache, but I normally don't struggle with cognitive focus. So it's not one that I use on the regular, but Celanc I use all the time. I have found that the intranasal form can be very highly effective. I have taken the sub-Q form of Celanc as well many times, and I love it as well. I feel like I get a little bit of a better outcome when I do the injectable form, but there have been many times if I've been traveling or I just don't want to take any more injections, that the intranasal form also works really well. Okay, DSIP. This is a deep sleep inducing peptide, and it is a peptide associated with sleep regulation, circadian rhythm, and mechanistically, it may influence delta wave sleep, that deep sleep, and interact with hypothalamic sleep centers and modulate stress-related sleep disruption. DSIP has been studied and researched for sleep disturbance models, jet lag and circadian rhythm disruption, stress-related insomnia, and the study showed faster sleep onset, deeper sleep phases, and improved sleep regulation. Results are often mixed with DSIP, regardless if you take it intranasally or if you take it sub-Q, because it's often considered bio-individual. I have had great results with DSIP. Full disclosure, this is not one that I've taken intranasally, but I will tell you, my daughter is a big fan of DSIP, and she just recently started the intranasal application and has been getting good results on it. Time will tell if it will be as impactful as the injections for her, but she's getting ready to go on a long trip, so she started taking it so she doesn't have to bring the injections with her. And so far, she feels like she's getting the same result from that to the injectable format. This is something that I plan on trying myself because I am tracking my sleep right now, and I'll report back on what my deep sleep looks like. I usually average right now, I've got things under control, so I usually average between an hour and a half of deep sleep every night. And I really want to see if I can increase that where it's more like an hour and a half to 2 hours, which should be exceptionally good. So we'll see, and I'll keep you posted on that. Okay, and the dosing for the DSIP intranasally is usually 1 to 4 sprays, anywhere from 50 to 200 mcgs. I tend to need to go up on this one, so I'm probably going to be on the higher range of that. So again, just know it's highly bio-individual and you're going to have to play around with it like all these things. But always start with the lower dose and see how it impacts you before you just automatically do 4 sprays before you go to bed, all right? Oxytocin is another one. It's one of the most well-established peptides for intranasal use. It plays a major role in social bonding, emotional processing, and stress response. So the intranasal oxytocin has been studied in social anxiety, autism spectrum research, PTSD, emotional processing, and consistent binding showed things like increased trust and social bonding, improved emotional recognition, reduced activity in the fear response in the brain. And participants often noticed that they were more socially open, less reactive to stress, and better at interpreting social cues. I will say oxytocin is one that you take at very low levels, and intranasally, you want to start with about 100 mcgs. You can go up to as high as 600 mcgs. This is one that you can get a wicked bad headache if you take it too much too soon. You're definitely going to get some flushing, like your face will just get bright red like a tomato, but that does diminish very quickly, so know that. I like oxytocin. Again, I have not taken it intranasally yet. I plan on trying that very soon. But this is one of the ones, like even doing my research for this episode, even anecdotally, getting on different forums and reading what people talk about, that seems to work really well intranasally. And I also think because when you're taking the injectable form, you take such a teeny tiny amount, it's really hard to titrate it correctly. So I think this is a good reason to potentially try this in the nasal form, intranasal form. Okay, let's talk about VIP, because VIP can be an interesting one because it works both ways, but differently. It works sub-Q, obviously, injectable format, but also works intranasal format. but it works very differently with each. So the VIP nasal targets the central nervous system pathways, local respiratory and sinus tissue, and it could help with mental clarity, a calming effect, improved breathing, and localized anti-inflammatory response. The injection is completely different scope. It's systemic circulation. It has more vascular effects. It's more immune has more immune modulation and gut and lung signaling. So the effects with the injectable form are more broader and more of an anti-inflammatory response, more consistent full body effects. So just think with the VIP, you get more of the localized central nervous system leaning injectable. You get more systemic full body peptides. This is because we have VIP receptors all throughout our body, and we do have a lot of them in our brain. So I think that both work really well. But if you're really wanting the full systemic effect of VIP, you might want to try it in the injectable format. Although I know a lot of people that have gotten really good results off the intranasal version of it. So I think this is a good thing. Like if you're already taking a bunch of peptides and you're in that injection fatigue, but you want to do VIP, it might be a good one. Let's do it intranasally. And then if it's not giving you the impact you want, you could go back to the injectable form. The thing with the VIP is you're really supposed to take it twice a day with the injectable format. And those twice a day ones can get annoying. But the VIP, you want to do 1 to 2 times a day and usually 2 to 6 sprays, depending on the disbursements. And that's paced for all of these. And usually around 100 to 300 mcg. Per dose, 1 spray once or twice a day. Again, this is all depending on the disbursement. So I'm going off how we at the Peptique have packaged these, but please do your own research. Okay, this is my research. This is what my takeaway is. Your research can look very different than that. All right. Okay, let's break down some of the peptides that I get the most questions about in regards to will they work in an intranasal format. KPB is one that I see a lot on different websites offered in an intranasal format. So let's break this down. Where the nasal application might work is sinus inflammation, local irritation, mucosal immune support. Some of the limitations is that it's not strongly central nervous system active. And so you'll have limited systemic reach, but it's best thought of in the local support, not as much as a systemic support. Okay. And so you can think about it that way. I'm not saying you may not get some benefit from an intranasally, but KPB is one that personally I would leave to an injectable format. GHKCU, because we talk about the intranasal ones that are the smaller chains of amino acids, those peptides do better. And so I get a lot of questions. GHKCU is a tripeptide. It's only a chain of 3 amino acids. So why wouldn't that work intranasally? Because in theory, you'd think it would. Okay. But a little bit more complex. The GHKCU is small, but once it's bound to copper, it's more charged and less permeable. So then you get poor absorption, and it's not a central nervous system targeted peptide. So it's really left best for topical use and then the injectable form. GHKCU is one of my favorite peptides, and I use it both topically and in the injectable form. Okay, the GLP peptides, what we love to be able to just spray those suckers and those work. They're large molecules, okay? And they require stable blood levels and they act on the metabolic system. So they're not a good candidate for this intranasal format based on all the ways that all the things that we just talked about. Now that might change because the technology for these things is changing all the time. But right now we don't really have a good format for the GLPs. So you want to stick with the sub-Q injection on that one. Now, I could go into all the other ones, like the growth hormone ones. Again, those are not going to be good. It's not a central nervous system one. You really want to stick with those and use those more on the injectable format. So we'll do a little recap here in just a minute. But those are the main ones I get questions about. So I wanted to address those. Otherwise, this episode would be 2 hours long. And I'm not Andrew Huberman, so we're not going to do that. But the other thing I get a lot of questions on is why do we use deionized water? Because when you get these kits, they come with the peptide that you bought, so the DSIT. They come with the nasal sprayer and they come with deionized water. So why that over backwater? deionized water has minerals removed, ions removed, and impurities removed. Okay. There's different levels of ionized water. We buy level one, which is the top tier deionized water, because that's what we want to do for all of our products. And it helps with stability, helps with consistency. And the big thing is why we don't use backwater is because the deionized water is better tolerated in the nasal tissue, and the backwater is known to show really bad irritation. So you don't want to be spraying something up the nasal cavity and then it causing an inflammatory response, because with these peptides, we're trying to avoid that. That's why deionized water is used. And also know that you can email me, because just like the free peptide guide, West Wellness and Longevity has come up with a nasal spray guide that gives you all the information that you need. Those two things are totally free. And so if you want a copy of those, you can email me. My email is in the show notes, and I will gladly send that over to you. And so I think this is a really interesting format, and I love the idea of it helping people that are afraid of injections, a different format that can be just as effective. And then just injection fatigue, which I know I struggle from, just ease, travel, that sort of thing. I think this is a really good solution for that. So to break this down, you use the nasal format for brain, mood, sleep, cognition, local inflammation. You use the injections for more metabolism, fat loss, systemic healing, and full body effects. That's a really oversimplistic way of putting that. But when you're breaking these down, you can look at it that way. So whether you're buying from the Peptique or somewhere else, because I would love for you to buy from us, but obviously I know a lot of you have your own trusted sources, and that's great. The key thing is that you're not wasting your money. So when you're looking at these nasal applications, make sure that you're thinking of it in this context, all right? And I think that kind of wraps that up. That was super short and sweet. Hopefully, if you're not familiar with the intranasal application, that kind of helps break it down in an easy way. Before I forget, I already mentioned the free guides. Just to wrap this episode up, if you are a woman and you are just now getting into peptides, or you've been into peptides for a while, but you want a supportive group to belong to, I created a group in the school platform called the Women's Peptide Collective. It is totally free. The link is in the show notes. It's a wonderful supportive group where we are all learning from each other. And shout out to all my school ladies. When I started it, I had no idea what would become of it. And it's just truly been amazing. And I love all you ladies. So thank you for all your support. And we'll have a new credit card processor up. It is way better than the one we had before. We're still getting high failure rates. That's just the name of the game. We have alternative ways to pay. So don't let that deter you. We are constantly trying to improve on this, but our hands are somewhat tied because the powers that be do not like companies like mine. So that kind of is what it is, and we're learning to navigate through it and figure out our alternative methods that we can keep things going in order for you guys to pay easily. And I think that's it for now. Email me your questions. I love getting your questions. I always try to respond in a timely fashion. You can always email me episode ideas. I get that a lot. And trust me, I need that, because oftentimes I'm like, what am I going to talk about this week? And if you want to email me, just keep it nice or don't bother. I guess the haters are going to hate. Somehow that tends to be a trend. I guess that's how you know that people are starting to engage more with what you're putting out there. So I know it's part of the game, but I just wanted to throw that out there. And I think that's it, y'all. So until next time, have a blessed day, everyone.